After experiencing the transformative power of a regular meditation practice, it's natural to feel inspired to share this gift and guide others on their own journey of discovery through meditation. Join Buddhist teacher David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell, comedian and creator of the Netflix animated series The Midnight Gospel, for a free online event on Tuesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll discuss the profound practices of mindfulness in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/beherenow for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Creativity, Spirituality, and Making a Buck podcast with David Nichtern on the Be Here Now Network. And this is our third installment of David's View, where David and I are in discussion about meditation and Dharma and how they relate to everyday life. Enjoy!
Hello and welcome, David, and hello and welcome to all of our listeners.
Greetings, everybody.
It's wonderful to be here together, David and I on Zoom, and all of you listening. Today we're going to be picking up on a previous thread from one of our conversations about bringing sacred outlook into work and mindfulness into work. So we're going to start off by playing a short audio clip.
How do you bring that sense of the sacred into your work experience?
Yeah, how do we bring sacred outlook, is what we call it, into the experience of work? Wow. Powerful, powerful topic. So often when we start to work, even as Dharma people doing Dharma work, you know, trying to set up a Dharma online community or whatever, when it comes to the work, all the frayed edges come out in people. And we've experienced that. I've always experienced that. You know, I spent 2 years as the director of Karma Chilling Meditation Center in Vermont. And once people signed up to work for the Dharma org, all the neurosis comes out. You'd think it would disappear. Well, these people are magically connecting and they're so sweet to each other, kind to each other. Of course, that's part of the inspiration of it. But when it comes down to, you know, making schedules, handling budgets, figuring out who's in charge of what, differences of opinion, it's just the same world as any other world at that point. Maybe even more heightened, in a sense. So how do we deal with bringing our sacred outlook into the work environment or the workplace without it being trippy? You know, it doesn't have to be some kind of like, you know, well, let's share, you know, let's have a period of 15 minutes for sharing. And you know, I don't mean to put that down. We should share. I don't mean to be too sarcastic about that. But it's not an overlay. It's not like if we overlay some Dharma-ish-y things on top of whatever's underlying. It's more mixing it in with it, like milk into pancake batter, you know? Like, you know, you've got to move your arm around and really stir that pot, that bowl, and then you have the batter. And the batter is a combination of the flour and the milk, right? And it's a whole new thing, and it's called a kind of healthy work environment is what it's really called, because people appreciate being there. They respect each other. They are mindful of their speech. When they're talking to somebody or about somebody, there's a feeling of mindful speech. When they're thinking about other people at work who are having challenges, there's a feeling of compassionate interest. It's not just get the job done, you know, which a lot of work environments devolve into. There has to be some room for the human equation to manifest as compassion and collaboration, teamwork, leadership principles come into play. You know, the sacred world has very unique leadership teachings, in a way, of how natural hierarchy can happen, how you can have teamwork happen without collusion, without creating a crony situation. What's a healthy disagreement? How does that happen? How do you resolve? How do you decide how and when to go forward with the project? So if you look at those as, if you look at work as your Dharma place as your sacred place, you'll bring those principles, same principles to apply to the everyday interactions. And that is really powerful. I think it's the new frontier, personally. I think you're going to see a lot of people talking about this coming up.
Pretty smart guy. Articulate answer.
And right off the top of his head, too.
Yeah, it's pretty meta to be in this environment listening back to our conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. It is like listening to somebody else, in a way. When you, if you can listen to yourself as if you're listening to somebody else, that's very interesting. You get a sort of objective sense, which is in meditation, you know, we call that the abstract watcher. Just observe your mind. You can observe your mind the same way and not have to try to judge it or anything, but just calibrate, be attentive. That's kind of the key to what we're about to talk about, I think. Not to presage it or, you know, jump ahead, but.
Yeah, that sense of non-biased awareness. And I know in my practice, you know, I'm coming in for 2-3 years of practice now. It's a big shift to perceiving what arises in the mode of judgment versus noticing. And that opens a big dimension of experience and interaction.
And you know what? It feels different in your body, too.
Yes, it does.
Body is a big, you know, kind of, the body is the can opener for the really accurate.
The body is the can opener for the accurate perception.
Yeah.
Of experiences.
Yeah.
Well, our sense perceptions are part of our body, and we feel our energy in our body, and all of this is mediated in a way by that.
Yeah, and if you're, you know, as we always say, in Dharma Moon, we say upright but not uptight, and we say not too tight and not too loose.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when people are meditating out there, it's okay to not just meditate from the neck up. You can, your whole body can meditate, and you can have a sense of, without dwelling on it or trying to manipulate it, you can just have a sense of, information, observing the energy in the body is part of the awareness practice. And then also, you can relax, release. And it's funny, then when you relax, sometimes you sit up more as opposed to the other way around. You think, oh, if I relax, I'll slump over, but it's almost like your muscles start to work properly at that point.
It's really interesting, the journey of synchronizing mind and body on the seat.
Yeah.
And what it's like to experience an emotion and then sort of live in the narrative of that emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And to let go of the narrative and come back to the physical embodied experience of it energetically.
Yeah, and it's also groundless.
Mm.
Because it's not like, okay, well, gee, now I feel good. It's like there can be a sensation of pain or stress that's very pure in a way. And not necessarily pleasant in the way we're used to thinking of pleasure, you know, but vivid, more like vivid.
Something that I've learned is that vividness, previously, before I was practicing, I was experiencing my reactions to those sensations or emotions or energies more than I was experiencing the pain or the stress,
mm-hmm,
or the or whatever may, yeah, arise.
Yeah. Well, and supposedly you can work with pain, physical pain, that way. It's very hard. It's very challenging because there's such an immediate feeling, but I don't want to be feeling this. I would rather feel anything this. And I'd have to, you know, set a limiter on it. Like, you know, there have been times, for some reason, whenever I've had a root canal, it's been on a weekend in a different city. It's just a rule. It's called the root canal rule.
And it's a noble rule.
It couldn't be 11 and Tuesday in your home and you can just go to the dentist in an hour. You know, you're going to sweat it out. And pain, we all know, we've all experienced pain that is so intense that there's no way to work with it or around it. It just is your master at that point. I don't know. I guess we're not talking about work anymore, though, are we? We're talking about something else. So let's come back to the sacred outlook at work.
I think we can do it because we're talking about, you know, we started with the physical body, and in a way we're talking about reactivity and also sort of the relaxation into the experience. Mm. We don't always use the word relaxation, but we started with sort of non-bias, right? So this whole framework, whether you're getting a root canal or your coworker is maybe really sending a lot of energy, or maybe you're hearing a harsh truth.
Yeah, wow.
You're going to experience a response mentally, energetically, and physically, right?
Yes, that's how much of our experience is framed by the thought or feeling, I don't want to be here.
Oh, God.
I don't want to be here. Think about all day long how many times, you know, for example, if you sit down to meditate and you're really honest, as soon as your mind slows down enough to actually experience presence, you're going to say, I don't want to be here. And that was what we call hot boredom, right, or cool boredom, that there's that restlessness, that itch. You're so used to not being here that it's almost like an innovation to experience the edge of that, which is so groundless, that, and there's not much self in it. There's not much. The I that doesn't want to be here is almost defined by not wanting to be here.
Yeah, alternately, like not wanting to be here and like craving to merge with whatever desirable experience, you know, that those sort of two poles.
That's funny. Yeah.
So by sitting and sort of maybe expanding our ability to accommodate what arises and perhaps even experience this sort of sense of groundlessness and while being present, how does that relate to our experience at work or our experience in the world?
Well, it's funny because work has probably these two ways of not being here. One is kind of laziness and resistance, you know, which everybody does. You know, like you look at somebody at their office and they're busy on their computer, but they're really checking their email or whatever else could possibly be.
Not to interrupt, but I never do that while working on the podcast.
Okay. God. And so there's the pulling back, the laziness, and then there's this rush to get stuff done, which is another form of avoiding the experience that you're having. It's just, if I get this done, my to-do list, then I won't have I'll have a smaller to-do list. That's the benefit. But what about just, you know, doing what you're doing, whatever task it is, while you're doing it and really thoroughly engaging in it? And that involves some kind of releasing of the laziness and releasing of the, obsessive quality of work. You're somewhere in the middle zone there. And good work gets done that way, don't you think?
Yeah, and that's really deep practice because we all experience those things, that agitation of not wanting to do this, emotional, physical discomfort, or then, you know, being, laxity or elation, sometimes we say, in our meditation practice. So cultivating that ability to allow those emotions and energies while still noticing when you wander and coming back over and over again with that gentleness really shifts the experience and the way that you go about things and the quality of what gets done and how you do it, in my experience.
Hmm. That's true. I mean, and there's no big prize. That's what's funny about it. You know, I mean, I guess people, you know, remember Cracker Jacks? Is that before your time?
Oh, no.
So, you know, we would get a box of Cracker Jacks at a hockey game or something like that. And then the whole thing was there was a prize in it. And you get to the bottom, and it's just a piece of junk. Is it like a Dakota ring or a little giraffe, you know, or something like that? But the fact that there's a prize in it is, I guess, there's some part of our psychological reality where we're looking for the prize. And, you know, I think that's built in quite strongly into how our psyches are tipped, you know. They're tipped towards looking for a prize. And that has to get cut through to really become a kind of transformed meditative person. You've got to become less goal-oriented. There's no doubt about it.
It's quite paradoxical how being less goal-oriented and letting go of that, let's use the phrase, neurotic sense of ceaseless striving.
Whoa. Go, Michael. Yeah, that sort of could be a cut from our album, the neurotic sense of ceaseless striving, D flat. Yeah. Wow.
Well, what if on the bottom of the Cracker Jack box it was a Lojong slogan? You get it said, whoa, abandon all hope of fruition or don't expect applause at the bottom of the Cracker Jacks.
You know, this I don't know about you, but this is what every day is like for me. Ideas like that you could really do that. Can you imagine that? Lojong Cracker Jacks? That's like, and they'd have to be healthier probably for most people who'd be drawn to that possibility. You'd want to have a healthier alternative than the traditional Cracker Jack, but there's plenty. Could be, you know, gluten-free or something like that. And then at the bottom, there's a Lojong slogan. I think that's really a great idea, Michael. We should do it.
I think when we get into Dharma Moon live events, that can be our, we can have a little snack stand with like that.
Oh, see, this is what's really fun for me. Dharma Moon merch. We are going to have some merch, and this with this kind of twist to it, that's really a good idea.
I'm sorry, do you want to keep riffing?
Well, let's just remember that we said that somewhere, write it down or something like that.
Great, we're recording, so it's good.
Okay, yeah.
And maybe some of the listeners will want to collaborate with us.
Or maybe they'll steal the idea.
Well,
And make a lot of money. That could happen.
By abandoning hope of fruition. So
by abandoning hope, paying royalties for intellectual property.
True. Well, we're going to copyright it immediately after this discussion, and then they can license it from us. So now we're getting into the business aspect. Okay. We have a heaven vision, and now we're bringing it down to earth.
That's right. We are.
There you have it, folks. Episode number 3 of David's View. We sincerely hope that you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed making it, and that you take something constructive from our conversation. David and I continued that Lojong Cracker Jacks riff until we arrived at him saying, "Transform your discomfort into profound insight." I'm pretty proud of that music edit that you just heard to the major key after saying profound insight. However, I don't want to derail our conversation from the fact that perhaps we can contemplate how to transform our discomfort into insight and bring that back into our experience and our interactions and work in our everyday life, as that is what this podcast is about. If you'd like to learn more about what we talk about here on this podcast and join us in community and study with David, please head over to dharmamoon.com, where you can see all of our offerings that we are offering, because offerings are what we offer. Thank you again for listening to Creativity, Spirituality, and Making a Buck with David Nickturn on the Be Here Now Network. My name is Michael Kammers. We'd like to thank our co-producer, Melissa Matturn, and Corey and everyone at Be Here Now Network. If you like what you hear, please subscribe on your favorite podcast app and leave a glowing review. In the meantime, may you be safe, healthy, happy, and at ease. All the best.